ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। নারায়ণম নমস্কৃত্য নরং চৈব নরোত্তমম্, দেবীম সরস্বতীম ব্যাসম্, ততো জয়মুদীরয়েত্। নষ্টপ্রায়েষু অভদ্রেষু নিত্যম ভাগবত সেবায়া, ভাগবতে উত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির ভবতি নৈষ্ঠিকী।
Fans, it's too noisy. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 8, the chapter entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj. This morning we are reading text 10. The text is in a prose form, so we will read it. I think I will read it. And do we read together the prose formed verses? Together? Acha.
Noonam Haryaha Sadhava Upashama Shilaha Kripana Suhrid Evam Vidharthe Swarthanapi Guru Taranu Pekchante. Noonam Harya Sadhava Upashama Shilaha Kripana Suhrida Evam Vidharthe Swarthanapi Guru Taranu Pekchante.
I think I start with synonyms.
Noonam, indeed, he certainly. Aryaha, those who are advanced in civilization. Sadhavaha, saintly persons. Upashama Shilaha, even though completely in the renounced order of life. Kripana Suhidaha, the friends of the helpless. Evam Vidharthe, to execute such principles. Swarthanapi, even their own personal interests. Guru Taran, very important. Upekshante, neglect. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Even though one is in the renounced order, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, although they may be very important to protect one who has surrendered. Purport. Maya is very strong. In the name of philanthropy, altruism, and communism, people are feeling compassion for suffering humanity throughout the world. Philanthropists and altruists do not realize that it is impossible to improve people's material conditions. Material conditions are already established by the superior administration according to one's karma. They cannot be changed. The only benefit we can render to suffering beings is to try to raise them to spiritual consciousness. Material comforts cannot be increased or decreased. This is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 5th Chapter, Text Number 18. Tal labhayate dukkhavad anyataha sukham. As far as material happiness is concerned, that comes without effort, just as tribulations come without effort. Material happiness and pain can be attained without endeavor. One should not bother for material activities. If one is at all sympathetic or able to do good to others, he should endeavor to raise people to Krishna consciousness. In this way, everyone advances spiritually by the grace of the Lord. For our instruction, Bharat Maharaj acted in such a way. We should be very careful not to be misled by so-called welfare activities conducted in bodily terms. One should not give up his interest in attaining the favor of Lord Vishnu at any cost. Generally, people do not know this or they forget it. Consequently, they sacrifice their original interest, the attainment of Vishnu's favor, and engage in philanthropic activities for bodily comfort.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Debe Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shribash Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Nunam Hariyaha Sadhava Upashama Shilaha Kripana Surid Ebam Vidharte Swarthanapi Guru Taranu Pekchante. Even though one is in the renounced order, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, although they may be very important to protect one who has surrendered. Srimad Bhagavatam is the examples of the how we should practice the principles of devotional service we have learned in Srimad Bhagavad Gita in a very practical point of view. So that's why time to time we see the narrations which depict the success and also the spiritual failure of the devotee who are even fixed very sincerely in their respective spiritual quests. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us that how we should implement the principles of pure devotional service as per time, place and circumstances. So in this connection, we are reading now the narration of wonderful pastime of King Bharata, who is a pure devotee of Lord. And in order to teach us some good lesson, Lord is putting Bharat Maharaj in some spiritual difficulties which are technically almost impossible. So to this verse says that after considering the Bharat Maharaj's responsibility towards the deer, Bharat Maharaj immediately took the decision that he must protect and pamper and also raise that deer in his own ashram. Same time, as a sadhaka and a devotee of Lord, Bharat Maharaj has many spiritual responsibilities towards the Lord and towards himself. So in this particular verse, we are seeing that how these two kinds of responsibilities are conflicting each other. Bharat Maharaj, here, he is, though completely attached to this helplessness of this deer and developed sufficient amount of compassion to the body of this deer. So in this particular stage of his consciousness, he is compromising with the principles. He is saying that, look, Jai Shri Radha Rasbihari ki Jai, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai ki Jai, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. So he is telling himself that as a devotee, to be very kind
is very natural. This is true. A devotee who is not kind, what kind of devotee he is? When Arjuna felt compassion to the opponent kings who assembled to fight against them in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Srila Prabhupada is writing that this is a natural characteristic of a devotee of Lord. So Bharat Maharaj, when he displayed the compassion to this deer, is not at all against the Vaishnava principle or principle of pure devotional service. But the problem is that he is now so much attached that he is considering that one should certainly neglect his own personal interests. Okay, now let us look at this particular word, personal interest. What does it mean? Again, the time, place or circumstances should be taken into account. So personal interest for a man or individual in this material realm or material understanding of his situation in this material world may be related to his or her own material agendas and interests. To become compassionate, in order to become compassionate, if one give up one's material concerns, material interest, that's fine. But here, Bharat Maharaj, if we just take a little deeper look into his position, Bharat Maharaj is a person who already renounced the material world. And he is there in the forest near the Pulaha Ashram just to surrender his body, mind and speech in the service of Krishna. So for him, the only interest, personal interest, is his own spiritual interest, his pure devotional life. So Bharat Maharaj now, in order to show the greatness, he is in the verge to renounce his pure devotional practices. And he is justifying that. He is saying that sadhava upashamashilaha, that the sadhus in past, we have seen those who felt some affection to someone in order to render the responsibility towards someone, gave up their own personal interests. So dangerous. He is justifying. So this happens often when we fall prey to this material relationships in this material world. Bharat Maharaj, he renounced his whatever he had as a king. And he is identifying himself in this particular verse that even though one is in the renounced order, he actually recognizing himself. He is in the renounced order of life, but what he is doing? Actually, what is the renunciation? The real meaning of renunciation is that to engage everything in this material world, whatever we have, in the service of Krishna. That is the renunciation. If we simply give up things prematurely and think that, oh, I am in the renounced order of life,
that may cause difficulty in our life. But Bharat Maharaj is doing one, committing one mistake, that by the arrangement of providence, the Bharat Maharaj was gifted this little deer to take care of. He must take care of the deer, but what he is doing, he forgot to engage this deer. He forgot to relate the deer's existence in the service of his beloved Lord. So that is the biggest mistake Bharat Maharaj is doing. So that happens every time with us, even in our spiritual lives. In the course of our spiritual services, we are given so much facilities, so many responsibilities. So many people come and meet us. They develop relationships with us. So we feel responsible towards them. But at the same time, we must recognize one thing, that whatever we are getting, we are given to serve Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, they should be properly utilized. But question is that, even understanding this inevitable truth, why often we slip from that understanding? Because this is the nature of the living entity in this material world. We are very much influenced by our minds. Mano rathena dhavata bahi. So this is the problem with Bharat Maharaj also. Though Bharat Maharaj, please don't misunderstand him, he is one example in order to teach us lesson. He is a pure devotee. But he is playing a role of a sadhaka bhakta, though he reached the level of bhava as per Srila Prabhupada. So this mind is so notorious element. Though in its control form, it is very good friend, dear friend. If it's not controlled, it can take us to any point of devastation and confusion in our spiritual quest. So Bharat Maharaj, when he found that his heart is already attached so very much and formed a bond with this deer, his mind started to say something very logical. Very, very logical. He says, look, in past, there are so many examples, there are so many great souls, they gave up their personal interest and help others, so why not I? This is called the enemy in the guise of a friend. When Arjuna, he stood in front of Krishna and he said, my dear Krishna, how can I fight with my gurus? How can I fight with my kinsmen? How can I fight with my brothers? This is, as per Dharma Shastra, this is really wrong. And he presented so many arguments, this and that and this. But each and every argument he presented to Krishna put him in the ultimate anxiety, unless he finally surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna.
Shishyaste aham shadhi mam tam prapannam. So often we see in our spiritual practices every day this wonderful pursuits of our mental speculations. They pop up, they surface into our hearts and minds to tell us that how wonderfully we justify our mistakes. So we should be very careful. These are the enemies in our minds, in the disguise of a friend. Similarly, we see in Krishna Leela that Krishna would play the different games. The devotional service is nothing but the playing games with Krishna and being friend of Krishna. Isn't it? Devotional service means to serve. Serving Krishna means to please Him. So that's why in Vrindavan also we see that this similar kind of service is going on. And Krishna plays, Krishna relates, Krishna responds in different ways to the different kinds of devotees. So one of the games Krishna played is a ship and thief and police game. So there we see that the group of the devotees, his friends, they became the thieves. One group, they became the police constable, and another group became the ships. So those who became ship, the game is that the thieves will come and will steal them. And the police will be very active to catch the thieves. That's the game. The whole norm of the game was that when the thieves will catch the ships, the police will come and catch the thieves and say, "Yes, you are out, now sit down." But when Krishna started the game, then one demon, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing so wonderfully in his book, The Demons in Vrindavan, that he, named Vyomasur, took a form of a beautiful, beautiful cowherd boy and joined the game. And all the cowherd boys, they considered him to be one of them. And they welcomed him, "Please come, come, come." And he took the side of the thieves and started to steal. So instead of playing the game, this Vyomasur started to pick them up and take them to a cave, dark cave, big cave. And then seal the mouth of the cave that these cowherd boys, they cannot come out. So this way, the game was going on. And the cowherd boys, with their unflinching faith on this Vyomasur, ultimately the enemy in the guise of a friend, they allowed him to play, to take part in the game. And finally, or practically, all of the friends of Krishna were imprisoned in that big dark cave. The cave is still there in Kamban. You can see, take darshan of that. So when Krishna understood that something wrong is happening, "Where is my friends? I don't see them anymore." Then Krishna understood that this gentleman is a demon. So then He simply played his role. He caught him red-handed. He said, "Look, my dear friend, you are the thief. Now I will punish you." Vyomasura was very much afraid. He understood he was facing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what he did, he immediately tried to escape. He ran away. But Krishna is very expert in running. Ishapanishad says, Tadejati tannayjati taddure tadantike tadantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasasya vayyataha. The Lord Krishna is everywhere. He is inside, he is within, he is without. When he runs, no one can catch him. That means when anyone runs, Krishna effortlessly catches him. So Krishna did that. Krishna caught Vyomasura so tightly, and Vyomasura understood that this is the end of his life. And Krishna killed him. But before he died, Vyomasura tried his best to escape, to get an escape from Krishna's hand. He never surrendered. He never surrendered. He tried his best. He changed his form. He made a huge, huge, big form touching the sky. Then he roared like anything, so on and so forth. But Krishna is very, you know, expert killing demons. And then when he killed, the cowherd boys were released from that cave by Krishna. So this demons in our mind takes over us when we trust them as a very loyal, reliable friends. Why? Because when they are undetermined, when we don't understand, recognize them. That's why in 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the process of analyzing our own status, introspection, is suggested. Srimad Bhagavad Gita says that the goal of yoga system is easily available to one who is a introspective yogi. Then question is that how and what inspires us to introspect? First thing is that when our goal is very fixed, very determined, and we are fixed into the goal, those sincere devotees who are approaching to their spiritual goal, they often be inspired by their goal itself to be more and more introspective. Just like when we drive car, what do? Do we just sit down and, you know, just drive the car? No. There are few glasses. One is on your right hand side, another is at left hand side, another on just above your head. Right? So we have to look at the glasses all the time. And same time, we see through the windscreen what is happening in front of us. So we scan our situation. We scan very sincerely our course, our location. Then we drive. And then we can drive safely. We can reach the destination safely. And second thing inspires us to be an introspective yogi is the association of the devotees. Bharat Maharaj, though he was a very much powerful devotee, almost on the threshold of his spiritual success, But one thing he was lacking was definitely association of the devotees. So when Krishna recognized that Bhimasura is there playing a role of a cowherd boy, he immediately took action. So now, this to us, in our spiritual quest, this Krishna's action often comes through the devotees. To us, Krishna acts through the devotees. Right? So sometimes we see that the devotees, they come to you, come to us, they very sincerely, with all of, you know, concern and mercy, they say, Prabhu, this is not good. If Bharat Maharaj would have someone next to him, would tell him, Bharat Maharaj, what you are doing? Bharat Maharaj must not do all these things. You see, even in case of Dhritarashtra, he is Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra means who caught hold of his state shamelessly. When Bidura approached him and told him, my dear brother, you are just acting like a dog, you know, taken care of by the Pandavas, just like a dog. Dog is taken care of by its master. This is not fair. So those kind of counseling immediately rekindled the fire of knowledge and realization. And Dhritarashtra immediately gave up the throne and took shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So we must be in the association of the devotees and consider the devotees to be the representative of Krishna and Guru. So when we forget Krishna, when we forget the glory of the devotees, we often fall prey to this unnoticed, the demons, the enemies in our minds. But when Bhimasura was caught and by Lord Krishna, what he did? He immediately started to do something which stopped him from surrendering Krishna's lotus feet. So here we see that Bharat Maharaj was justifying his mistakes. Because of false ego, most of the time we cannot accept what we are hearing from our well-wishing devotee friends in order to help us in our spiritual quests. When someone says, Prabhu, this is not right, then we often say, no, you really didn't understand me, my intention. Sometimes we say, look, you know, this happened with this kind of devotees that time. So what is wrong if I follow that example and, you know, justify my mistakes? So Bhimasura also, he tried his best. He did so many things to escape. But finally, he died. So that's why we must not justify, but sincerely took shelter of the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. One of our acharyas, he is singing, Akela amar nahi pai bol harinam sankirtane, tumi kripa kore shraddha bindu diya deho krishna nam dhane, ohe vaishnava thakur dayaro sagor edashe koruna kori. He is singing, oh my dear Vaishnava Thakur, my dear Guru Maharaj,
Please, please be merciful upon me. I consider myself insignificant. And how can I alone can preach the holy name? I don't feel confident. Because Srila Prabhupada is saying in the first line of purport, Maya is very strong. What Maya does with us? Maya has two kinds of activities. One is called Avaranatmika. Another is called Dikshepatmika. By the Avaranatmika potency of Maya, Maya Devi covers our intelligence, the pure Krishna conscious intelligence. And when the Krishna conscious intelligence, which is defined in Srimad Bhagavad Gita as Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, is covered, then what will happen? Bahu Shakahi Anantascha Buddhayor Abhyavasayinam. Then this lack of Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, one directional intelligence, will lead us to the many directions. And that is called Bikshepatmika. Bikshepatmika means, Bikshep means to throw. Just like someone ties my eyes and tell me, you just walk. I can walk. But what will be the aftermath of my walking blindly? I will smash my head and die. Right? So, that's why we must not try to do our bhajan alone. Srila Prabhupada vividly instructed us to be in the association of the devotees. And how we should be in association of the devotees? Tadero charon shebi bhakto shane bash. We should be in the association of devotees simply by serving their lotus feet. How to serve the lotus feet of a devotee? A devotee is 24 hours a day aspired to serve Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Radharas Vihariji. So, serving the lotus feet means facilitate them in the service to Srila Prabhupada and Radharas Vihariji. How? Srila Prabhupada says in his different lectures that there are three ways to serve devotees' lotus feet. One is to encourage them, always encourage them. And same time, very, very carefully rectify their faults and supply them whatever they need to serve the mission better. And same time, one should be very humble to the One should be in the very humble disposition to the devotees and devotee community. So when one is like that, Lord Krishna Himself provides one His ultimate protection. Once in Jagannath Puri, there was a devotee called Murari. So Murari, he was very simple-hearted devotee. He was not a big president. He was not sannyas candidate. He was not a teacher. He was not a big book distributor. He was simply serving, worshipping Lord Jagannath every day and trying to serve devotees. So Murari, one night when he was sleeping, he had a dream. In the dream, Jagannath appeared and Jagannath said, Murari, I am hungry. I want to eat jackfruit. Murari said, alright. Jagannath said, not ordinary jackfruit. Jackfruit from the garden of the king. And Murari said, my dear Lord, fine, then tomorrow morning I will ask the king to give you a jackfruit. And Jagannath said, no, not tomorrow morning, now. I want it now. Then Murari said, my dear Lord, you know, if someone is caught while stealing in king's garden, what will happen? He will be thrown into prison. He will be sentenced to death. Why didn't you understand that? Jagannath said, I don't want to understand anything. I want jackfruit now. So, you are coming there, I will meet you there. So Murari, he didn't have any option than reaching the king's garden. So while Murari reached there, he met a very beautiful, beautiful young cowherd boy. And then both of them went inside. And then Murari said, my dear Lord, please, don't make much noise, you know. You see the guards with big, big sticks. Please, try to understand. So Lord, immediately climb up the tree. He said, you stay here and I will give you the jackfruit. You just catch them, right? Yes. So Lord went up the climb of the tree and he started to throw the jackfruits, ripe and tasty sweet jackfruits. And he was creating tremendous sound and noises. And that attracted the attention of all the guards. They were very angry because it's midnight and they found a good thieves. So they, with all of enthusiasm, they ran there and found the Murari was there. His hands were filled with jackfruits. And the guards caught him and said, who are you? Who are you stealing from the king's garden? And then he said, oh my dear Lord, Jagannath, please save me. But Jagannath disappeared. So they caught him and arrested him, brought him to the police station. And they asked, they beat him like anything. Then they asked, do you like to say something? And he said, yes, I stole because Jagannath asked me to steal. Then he said, what nonsense, Jagannath will ask you to steal? We don't believe. So next morning he was presented in the assembly of king. Then king asked, Murari, why did you steal jackfruit from my garden? Murari said, my dear king, Jagannath asked me to steal, so I stole. The king was very angry. King said, what nonsense? You are manipulating Jagannath even. Our Supreme Personality of Godhead, put him into jail. So that night, king had a dream. Jagannath appeared and said, if you even beat Murari, my pure devotee, you will die. And if you go and surrender unto his lotus feet, you will be considered to be my pure devotee. So think. So king got up and ran to the jail and fell on the feet of Murari and said, please, please, please forgive me, and took shelter of Murari as a spiritual master. So point is that that the whole advancement, whole paradigm of the advancement in devotional service is the development of faith, which is called Shraddha. Right? Srila Rupa Goswami, he is describing that even from the Shraddha stage to Prema stage, these are nothing but the maturity of faith.
in one, someone. Shraddha is a very preliminary stage of his faith. Then Ruchi is more mature, advanced stage of faith. And Prema is the most advanced stage of the faith. So, you see, the king, he didn't have much faith on the Jagannath's word. He didn't have much faith on the devotee's word even. But simply the association of the devotee, association of the Murari, saved the king. He was sincere, but the Lord, in other words, Lord helped the king through his devotees to retain or regain the faith he was losing. So that's why we must take shelter of the devotees, be in the association and take the rectification they provide us out of their mercy and concern. Otherwise what will happen, we'll be blooped. We will made so many justifications with our so many faults and weaknesses. And now you will see in this course of this narration, Bharat Maharaj ended up in a deer's body. This life is very precious. Who knows then what body we will get after this human body? If we simply misuse that, misuse this opportunity to render devotional service. So that's why Srila Prabhupada made this wonderful arrangement of ISKCON. We have Mangala Arati, Bhagavatam class, and Guru Puja, Sandhya Arati, Kirtan, Prasad. That should be in association of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada says the ISKCON is a garland made out of the hearts of the devotees is being offered to Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Ji. So we must take advantage to make ourselves to be the part of that garland. So together we be strong, we become. We fall apart from this community, we grow weak. So that's why we see in the life of Bharat Maharaj, he never associated with anyone. So he was forced to associate with this deer, so much so that he neglected his principle of devotional services. So, this morning we discussed that most of the time or all the time we should be very careful, very scrutinizingly analyze our thought processes and be more introspective than we can scan the enemies in our minds and hearts in the form of a friend, apparently look like friend. And when we take note of those presence of unwanted things in our hearts and minds, immediately take shelter of the Lord and take shelter of the advanced devotees. And also we discussed that what does it mean to be in association of the devotees. We also discussed the three aspects of service to the devotees' lotus feet. And also we discussed that how Srila Prabhupada defined ISKCON. That's a wonderful association, wonderful opportunity to associate with devotees of Lord. So I will stop here.